The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. It is Wednesday, May 19th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here for our show. 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Brought to you by the Normal Foundation. Make sure to check us out at normal.org for all the information you need about marijuana. And joining me here in the studio, the maestro, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, John. Hey, you know, we were just discussing before the show starts how some days, you know, you can start your day and just feel awful, just feel terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something about that first bowl of the day that can make it all worthwhile.
Well, I was about on the second bowl before I felt it, but, you know, yeah. Well, basically what you're saying is correct.
Yes, yes, the wonder drug that works wonders. And joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Russ. Hello, Ganja John.
Hello.
Nice to have you feeling better.
Yeah.
We also have to reassure Carrie. Carrie, your job is secure. I got a call this morning from Carrie. He's like, what am I fired? I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? I had put this note up on the stash about trying to find someone to do the news reading for the weekly news. We have this weekly news podcast for Normal. It goes out every week, but it's a separate recorded thing from this show. Carrie thought I was talking about her gig with reading the news on
this
show.
I thought you broke up with me on a post-it note.
I know. That would be the worst way. Firing.
Yeah, that's worse than a text. Breaking up through a blog.
Yeah, breaking up through blog. Yeah. I think that's the ultimate in bad manners. But no, Carrie will be here reading our news like she does every day, and she's going to start reading some weekly news for us too. So thanks so much, Carrie.
You bet.
All right, so we get to the news right after our first break. So what's in our headlines today?
Well, we're going to look at a court case that's going down in California starting today that might be a test case for those people that are up against federal charges for running dispensaries. We're also going to do another world cannabis news. I like to kind of get out of our borders and see what's going on in cannabis in the rest of the world. Another European city is moving towards decrim. We're going to talk about that. And our hemp story today, we're going to cover the case of the North Dakota Speaker of the House and his fight for industrial hemp in his state.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that news right after our first break. Also, in breaking news happening right now, we've gotten this from the folks in our chat room, our Canadian friends, telling us all about the occupation of Stephen Harper's office by Jody Emery and other activists, not just protesting the extradition of her husband, Mark Emery, but also protesting the S-10 bill that's going on up there. The folks up in Canada, they have a new conservative government. Well, it's not that new, but have a conservative government for the first time in a long time. And this conservative government has decided they want to institute mandatory minimum sentences for marijuana, you know, like we have here in the United States, because, you know, it works so great here. sarcasm intended. So that protest is going on right now. We'll get more information about this and have a full breakdown and report and hopefully some video of it happening right now in Canada, in Calgary, I believe, occupying Stephen Harper's office there. So all of that is coming up. Also on today's show, we have our Daily Toker Tune. That comes to you at 20 after the hour. Today is Irie Wednesday, where we celebrate reggae music and world music. Hannah's Field will be here with the song Free the Weed. At the bottom of the hour, our favorite segment of the week, Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, answering your live questions from the chat room. And at the end of the show, a debate from Normal's Alan St. Pierre.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal's Alan St. Pierre versus the Heritage Foundation on ABC News. We're right back after this.
Hello, I'm Radical Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal and host of Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and I encourage you to visit MarijuanaDoctors.com to find a physician to help you obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in your state. In most medical marijuana states, patients qualify with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis, and other conditions which vary by state. Learn which conditions are covered in your state at MarijuanaDoctors.com. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, MarijuanaDoctors.com will help you find a physician online or by phone to obtain a permit for medical marijuana. MarijuanaDoctors.com is fully transparent and HIPAA compliant. Call 866-996-9333 today or visit MarijuanaDoctors.com. That's 866-996-9333 by phone or online at MarijuanaDoctors.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A court case that begins today is being monitored closely by cannabis advocates who say that this will be a test case as the first federal dispensary prosecution in the nation to go to trial since President Obama ordered the DEA to stop raiding dispensaries. In San Diego County, James Stacy is the defendant whose dispensary, Movement in Action, was raided by a multi-jurisdictional task force on September 9th. In October, the Justice Department directive was issued. Stacy's lawyers will argue that he is entitled to admit evidence of state law compliance as part of his defense. More than a dozen dispensaries were raided during Operation Endless Summer, a campaign carried out by both federal and state authorities, but only two owners are facing federal charges, Stacy and Joseph Nunez, who pleaded guilty in his case and received a one-year prison sentence. The group Americans for Safe Access are watching the case carefully. Joe Elford, their chief counsel, said that with the new enforcement policy on medical marijuana, that the federal government should not be trying the case at all, and at the very least, Mr. Stacy's case should be deferred to the state courts, where he is guaranteed a defense against his charges. Stacy has been charged with cultivation of marijuana with intent to sell, conspiracy to cultivate, and possession of a firearm. If convicted, he would be punished by 20 years behind bars.
Well, this is the first case, like Carrie mentioned, the first case to come to trial after the Obama promise to not use federal resources to go after dispensaries, with the caveat that those were the ones that were in compliance with state law. There's always an out when you listen to politicians, and this was the out. It seems to me that the goal here is to kind of change the rhetoric with regard to federal prosecution without really changing what they're doing. And we reported earlier about the Obama drug war budget and how they come out and say they want to have more treatment and more, prevention of drug abuse. And yet their budget, you know, what they do, comes out 2/3 in favor of law enforcement and interdiction. Pretty much just like every other drug war budget we've seen through both Democratic and Republican administrations. This situation where they say, you know, we won't use federal resources to go after dispensaries that are in accordance with state law, seems to me like they want to look like they're not being the heavy. They want to pass the heavy lifting on to the locals, to have the local sheriffs that don't like cannabis getting involved there and taking those charges to federal court so that they can say, well, you know, we said we wouldn't go after the ones that were in accordance with state law, but if the local people are bringing that prosecution to the federal courts, then, well, that really wasn't us. And once it's in the courts, we have to obey the rule of law and take it through the process and through the system. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Again, being the Mr. Stacey being able to admit evidence of his compliance with state law, that is a major point here, and that could be very helpful in his defense. You know, we saw the Ed Rosenthal case when that went through, and he was able to talk about in state court how he was, you know, complying with growing for patients and so on, and the judge was lenient and only gave him like a dollar fine. So it'd be very interesting to see how this turns out. I don't see that as a possible outcome in this federal case, but at least now we'll get some of our evidence in court.
Berlin, Germany has had a soft stance on marijuana use, and foreigners traveling to the European city have reported that it isn't uncommon to smell marijuana when strolling through a city park or even in the back of a regular cafe. Now the German capital city is taking a step further toward becoming one of the most cannabis-friendly cities in Europe. The city's top health official has made a statement that she is planning on raising the amount of marijuana that one could legally possess and hash up to 15 grams without any legal repercussions. German federal law prohibits the possession of marijuana beyond a vague small amount, but it leaves it up to the states to determine exactly what a small amount means. Most of the German states have legally defined a small amount to be 6 grams. Berlin has enjoyed a 10-gram limit on the regulation that is expiring next month, so the increase will come with a new regulation. The health regulator that is responsible for the change, Katrin Lobschur, is getting some heat from her far-left party, who are advocating for legalizing cannabis altogether. The opposition are coming out swinging as well, saying that Berlin has stepped up efforts to combat drug dealing in the city over the last year, and raids on public parks to round up dealers have been happening. They feel that the new regulation would be a contradiction to their efforts by making it easier for dealers to carry a legal amount. If the proposed measure goes into effect, Berlin's marijuana laws would be among the most liberal in Europe. In the Netherlands, individuals are allowed to possess just 5 grams for personal use without fearing prosecution. In Belgium, it is only 3 grams. Only in the Czech Republic, who recently passed the most liberal drug law in Europe, allowing individuals to grow up to 5 cannabis plants or be in possession of as many as 20 marijuana cigarettes. They would be the only one that has more lenient laws after the Berlin is passed.
Wow, you know, this is for folks here in America listening to this and hearing that, wow, you can carry around 5 grams or 6 grams or 10 grams, it's not a problem. And Germany, you know, Berlin, Germany now talking about 15 grams, that's, you know, over a half ounce, just a little bit over a half ounce there. I know there's people in Texas and Oklahoma and Mississippi and just, you know, wishing they could be free to carry around an eighth, you know, and here these people are going to be able to have a half ounce. It's just amazing some of the changes that are happening worldwide. But, you know, it's something that we find in a lot of the larger European cities. I speak with Rick Steves from time to time. We get to see him at the different events, and he speaks very glowingly of the European attitudes toward soft, what they call soft drugs, as far as cannabis and some other things. You know, it almost should be mandatory in a big city. You know, the more that I think about it, when you think about big city life and the stress and the strain, being packed in such a close area with lots of other people, you would think there should be less alcohol and more marijuana. You know, more people getting along, more people mellowing out, not being violent or obnoxious. And yet, what we find in big cities usually is a pub on every corner, liquor stores in the more dilapidated parts of town. I encourage Berlin and all these big cities, not just, of course, in Europe, but of course here in America. Let's get sensible about this and allow people to have at least a, you know, personal amount of cannabis.
And for our hemp story today, again, in honor of Hemp History Week, we're covering hemp stories daily this week. Two farmers from North Dakota are asking a federal appeals court to review their case. North Dakota Speaker of the House, David Monson, along with another North Dakota farmer, Wayne Haig, filed a legal action against the DEA in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit earlier this week. Now, we've reported before on the plight of Haig and Monson. They lost their original case against the U.S. when they failed to convince a judge that industrial hemp should not be regulated under federal law because it is not technically marijuana. They were seeking a declaration that the Controlled Substances Act should not be applied to hemp so they could pursue state-sanctioned cultivation of the commodity. Both men received their first state licenses to grow industrial hemp back in 2007 when North Dakotans passed a hemp farming bill. They have applied for the last four growing seasons but have been unable to receive permission from the DEA. Now, the Drug Enforcement Administration must grant permission because of a legal stretch that defines hemp as a drug. Originally, Judge Pasco Bowman, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, dismissed their lawsuit. He wrote in his ruling that Congress had a rational basis for regulating the cultivation of cannabis plants and therefore found the definition of marijuana to include all cannabis plants should be upheld in the Controlled Substances Act. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in December affirmed the dismissal of that lawsuit. Monson stated on Monday, when he filed the new case against the DEA, that farmers should not be hamstrung by an irrational and counterproductive federal policy that preempts the state's prerogative to grow non-drug industrial hemp.
Yeah, of course, you know, we've been talking about this all week, the banning of industrial hemp under the ruse of banning cannabis, banning marijuana. Technically, you know, when they go through these court cases and the way the law is written, the judges are making the, you know, technically correct decision because the Controlled Substances Act isn't banning this or that, you know, species of marijuana. It's banning the molecules inside it. Right. It's banning tetrahydrocannabinol, whether it's produced in minute amounts in a hemp plant or in great amounts in a cannabis plant. Either way, doesn't matter the potency. If it contains THC in it, the molecule itself is banned. Right. You could technically be busted for having a speck of keef. Right. It's the molecule that is banned. And it's as silly, you know, to ban hemp because it has trace amounts of THC in it, as it would be to require ID to buy Aquavelva, right? Because, I mean, these aftershaves have alcohol in them. But nobody's drinking well, let me rephrase that. Hardcore alcoholics will drink Aquavelva to get drunk. And maybe that's where the analogy falls apart, because when we're talking about hemp, you can't even try to smoke it to get high. Trying to smoke it or trying to process it isn't going to get you anywhere. You're not going to get high off it. So the Aquavelva analogy doesn't even really compare. So with this this court case, going back to these guys in North Dakota, another case that was involved in North Dakota involved the Oglala Sioux Nation, the Indian nation up there that Alex Whiteplume and the guys up there that wanted to grow hemp on their tribal lands. And supposedly they are, you know, sovereign tribes, but yet, you know, the DEA comes down hard on them again. And it's so ridiculous to try to think of this. When you realize, and it's just common knowledge, that the people that founded this country founded it with fields of hemp everywhere the eye could see. And I always try to imagine what it would be like to get in a time machine and go back and talk to Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or Ben Franklin, these people whose entire economies were running on hemp, and try to explain to them that hemp was not legal, that the United States government would throw you in prison for decades for trying to grow hemp. I think it would just blow their mind. I think they couldn't even comprehend what we were talking about there. Anyway, in this Industrial Hemp Week, also Hemp Appreciation Week, we have been giving you some factoids about the wonderful hemp plant and some of its industrial uses. So I'll turn it over to Carrie again here because I know she's got one locked and loaded.
I do have one locked and loaded. Grown commercially in Canada since 1998, legally, hemp has become one of the most profitable crops per acre for farmers north of the U.S. border. And also, this is great. Hemp can yield 3 to 8 dry tons of fiber per acre. Now, that is 4 times what an average forest can yield. And we all know it takes about, 40 or 50 years before you can harvest forest fiber. So there you go. Hemp fact of the day.
Hemp fact of the day. I will give you my hemp fact of the day. And that is that the diesel engine invented by Rudolf Diesel at the turn of the 20th century was built to run off of hemp seed oil. And in fact, up until that time, up until we discovered petroleum oil as a fuel source, hemp seed oil and whale oil were the primary sources of fuel in the United States and throughout the world. The diesel engine runs on hemp, will run on hemp seed oil. And even today, you take a diesel engine right off of the factory floor here from any car maker and unmodified could run on hemp seed oil. So as we see those plumes of oil building in the Gulf of Mexico and tar balls washing up on Key West, Florida, just remember that we could be running our cars, driving our trucks, powering our trains, and doing so much more with hemp seed oil. Now, also, when you process that hemp seed oil, when you squeeze the oil out of the seeds, you're still left with the hemp seed, which itself can be made into a flour. It can be a food stuff to feed people. So unlike talk about corn for ethanol or whatever, you have the choice of either it's fuel or it's food. With the case of hemp seed, it is food and fuel all at once, no waste, and the stalks and everything left over can be made for, like Carrie said, all the materials that we can build from hemp. And, of course, if you let the females get a little horny and build up their flowers, you can smoke it as well. All right, folks, 20 after the hour. We've got to take a break. We're right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com. Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, world, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers in Des Moines, Iowa. America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, now available on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, time for us to take a trip back to Iowa and visit with our friend Johnny Reefer Seed. Johnny, how are you doing?
Great, great. Me and Chief Greenbud just booked us a little Iowa tour together this last week in June. So, buddy and I will look out for that.
Oh, yeah. So, Chief Greenbud and Johnny Reefer Seed on tour together throughout Iowa.
Yep. Stop in Kansas City, too.
Oh, fantastic. Is it going to be information for our listeners up on the website up there for you guys so that they can come out and see you?
You bet. I'll post up all the details once we get all get them all nailed down. I'll post all the dates so everybody can see them.
Yeah. So, include me on that email. We'll make a mention of it in our cannabis community calendar as well.
Okay, right on.
All right. Well, we've got a song for Irie Wednesday today, one of our favorites here at Normal Show Live. So go right ahead.
I am Phil. I love these guys, man. This group's new gypsy reggae sound is being embraced by everyone, from folk lovers, reggae snowboarders, to rock and rollers. Annisfield breaks through pop and surface to what lies deep within us all. They play songs of prayer, parties, praise, pot, and peace. While rocking with powerful African drum beats, this amazing singer-songwriter takes you along in her world of happy, love-filled heart to the pain of loss that touches us all. She opens the door to her own spirituality and shares with us the way for each one of us to truly be ourselves. Accompanied by her talented djembe, jive, and sidekick, Andy Ardensky, Anna Field has developed a gypsy reggae sound that is truly unique and inspirational. Today's every Wednesday Toker tune, Free the Weed on 420, I'm playing it a month late, you know, in true stoner fashion, I guess, is a track off Hannah's new CD, Music, Magic, and Medicine, which will be released this summer with along with a vegetarian cookbook by Bongo Bliss. That'll be pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you can learn more about Hannah's Field and purchase their music at www.hannahsgroove, that's HANNAHSGROOVE.com. Take it away, Russ.
All right, Hannah's Field. They have that song, Smoke a Little Pot. We play it all the time here. This is Hannah's Field with Free the Weed. The download will be available at stash.normal.org.
And every blessed day, free the weed on 420. Make it a national holiday.
420.
Free the weed.
420.
Don't arrest Santa, take away turkey, or burn down the mistletoe. Release the chains from this sacred herb, Johnny Appleseed shall sow. We know, put a ban on Christmas trees, take the glow from Rudolph's nose. Lift the laws from this fighting flower, celebrate medicine, watch it grow. Free the weed on 420 and every blessed day. Free the weed on 420, make it a national holiday.
420.
Free the weed.
420.
Free the weed.
420.
Declaration of Independence was written on hemp, you know. Politicians police the farmyards to make sure the hemp don't grow. No work on Washington's birthday, no school on New Year's or Veterans Day. Judge Washington grew great gardens of weed. Veterans took it to stay sane. Free the weed on 420 and every blessed day. Free the weed on 420. Make it a national holiday.
We gotta legalize and educate, elevate and regulate this message. Send it to all of our heads of state.
To me and you to do just what we do.
Fight the prohibition.
End this crazy mission.
Don't demonize.
Open up your eyes.
You got to realize
our countries that will rise.
If you move to propagate and cultivate, take time to stop the hate. We will take this country up to a higher state.
Breathe the weed.
420.
Breathe the weed.
420.
Hannah's Field with Free the Weed for 420. I say Free the Weed for every day of the year, but hey, if we got to start on a day, I think 420 would be perfect.
Important to support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change.
Care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, folks, time to check out our normal cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. All of our local Normal chapters are invited to submit their events to the calendar. Just send me an email at stash@normal.org. On Wednesday, May 19th, that's tonight, Tulsa Normal in Tulsa, Oklahoma is having their meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Just check out tulsanormal.org for more details. Benzie County Normal in Benzonia, Michigan will be meeting at Michigan Avenue. You can contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496. They always meet on the third Wednesday of every month. On Thursday, May 20th, tomorrow, Schoolcraft County Normal will be having their meeting at Hypnotic Hydroponics, 321 Deer Street in Manistique, Michigan. This is their monthly meeting. And Philadelphia Normal has their monthly meeting at the A-Space at 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They meet on the first and third Thursdays of every month, so you can check out their website at phillynormal.org for more information. On Friday, May 21st, the South Central Michigan Compassion Club fundraiser is taking place. You can call Rena Moss for more information at 517-869-2694. I'm sorry, that's Trina Moss. Or you can email onegirl@frontiernet.net. That's onegirl@frontiernet.net. That's O-N-E, onegirl@frontiernet.net. Or just check out the calendar online for that website and email address. On Saturday, May 22nd, Oregon Normal is having their cardholders meeting. This will be for all Oregon Normal members, however. It's going to be an outdoor kind of barbecue meeting. The location of the park is listed on their website, so check out ornorml.org for more information. Miami Valley Normal in the Cincinnati, Ohio area is having a meeting on Hamilton Avenue in Cincinnati, and you can check out their website at mvnormal.org, as in miamivalleynormal.org. And Denver and Seattle and other locations around the country will be having a free Mark Emery rally. For more information, check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
Every Wednesday, we join with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Always glad to have him here. And the folks in the chat room, go ahead and get your questions running here. Cannabis Carrie will pick them up and send them to us via text. And Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
One thing I wanted to get to you real quick here before we get into their questions, and this is the study that we had up on normal.org. Dr. Russo sent it around through our email list as well. The study on cannabis and driving, where they were looking for differences by gender, I suppose. But they found that there was no difference between someone who had smoked the joint before or after he had smoked the joint in his test, and yet the researchers came back and said that the marijuana user was impaired because he didn't do better on the test. So I was wondering if you'd seen that study and if you had any commentary on it.
I'm quite familiar with it, and I want to emphasize that they literally found nothing, and that this actually confirms previous study done in the late 90s by Roby in Amsterdam. So clearly, the idea that cannabis is this incredible impairer of driving doesn't have a lot of empirical support. Nevertheless, I want to, you know, emphasize to all our listeners that really a whole lot of things can impair driving, just general fatigue, over-the-counter antihistamines, and all of that. And the thing that you notice when you look closely at this study is folks who have smoked cannabis really compensate when they drive. So you see they drive a lot slower. They tend to decrease the distance between their car and the car in front of them, and they're much more likely to see a stop sign and start stopping earlier. And so I don't recommend driving high, but definitely drive as if you were high. Be sure you don't try to pass other cars. Definitely slow down your speed. Definitely keep plenty of space between you and the car in front of you. And then when you can go home, you can get really high and not have to worry.
Yeah, you know, and when I read that study too, they had made the point about the secondary auditory distractions, which they were saying if you were talking to the driver or the driver was listening to music, they found that the cannabis smoking drivers had actually, you know, put more distance. They slowed down between themselves and the car in front of them. And I'm thinking that's bad. That's bad that they slowed down when there was music or talking going on. I would think that would be something you'd recommend people to do. I wanted to ask you about the scientists and the people behind this that do these studies. I mean, it seems like they really bent over backwards to try to find something bad to say. Is that because of the pressure of trying to get these grants from NIDA and to do this research?
Two of these investigators have had literally millions of dollars from National Institute of Drug Abuse on this very topic or cannabis-related topics. They do some of the stuff on cannabis and brain function, and so they have to be extremely careful because this is their meal ticket. So, you know, they're not going to come right out and say, hey, cannabis does nothing to driving. Instead, they have to frame this the best they can.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to our chat room now. We've got some questions built up here, and Expert Setup is asking about auto-flowering cannabis and whether or not those kind of cannabis strains are good to a good source of cannabidiol, or I guess just in general, if you know of any particular types of marijuana that are good sources of cannabidiol.
I mean, it's sad but true. These are in short supply. We don't know, in part because we haven't got clearance to do the investigations that need to be done. So, you know, what are the legends I've been hearing about which ones are high in cannabidiol? The A10 that is available at some medical places in California. I hear this time and again about almost any strain that's notoriously called couch lock or some of the Romulan strains, but we've never actually gotten one in the lab and looked. GW Pharmaceuticals has grown a strain that is high in cannabidiol and actually low in THC and uses it in their spray, but that's something that is their property. So we're kind of stuck in this domain.
Okay. We have a question from Flint here that goes way beyond my understanding of the human body, but says, does the munchie craving cause excess proton pump activity, that is, ulcers from excess acid?
As it turns out, the way cannabis enhances appetite doesn't seem to involve acid secretion in the stomach, so that wouldn't be an issue. There's a cannabinoid receptor link to the satiety centers in the brain, basically to the parts of your brain that make you feel hungry, and if this goes all the way down the spectrum of animals, so that, you know, literally protozoans with cannabinoid receptors eat more when you put THC in their little vial. So this is not a stomach-mediated issue.
Okay. A question here from Cannabin Ed, I believe is the name. And he says he's heard conflicting reports that cannabis is good for dealing with panic attacks and that it's bad for dealing with panic attacks. What are your thoughts on using cannabis for panic attacks?
This is another situation where it seems like THC is probably not good. Cannabidiol probably is good for panic. But we've got splendid treatments for panic now. My friend John Forsyth has a book out on therapy for panic that, you know, 12 weeks of just filling out the workbook and working hard, and you can do amazing things with anxiety and panic. The mental health centers around literally almost every major city have three-month programs where it's odd, but you basically expose yourself to the things that often make you panic. So people end up spinning around in a chair and looking in the mirror and saying funny things. But it's amazing how effective this is. And this is one of the things that psychological treatments can really rock on. So I would recommend that. And then try to make sure you've got cannabidiol in your strains and everything should be fine.
Okay. Question here from Matter of Liberty. And I'm going to add a little to the question as well. The original question here is, what is the method used for finding THC content of herb? I'd add to that, what does that exactly mean when they say a strain is 30% THC or 20%? Are we talking weight, proportion of dry weight, proportion of the gland, whatever? And also the follow-up is, Is there a poor man's way of finding out the THC content of herb?
In fact, the way it's done is by dry weight, and the process is kind of complicated and is actually developed by those same researchers in Israel who got started with identifying THC in the first place. It's expensive, of course. The poor man's way really shouldn't be as big an issue as you might think, because obviously the proof is in the tasting, so to speak. If it's creating a pleasant effect, by all means, that's a good one. There's no need to try to pin the needle on your THC. If you're having fun, it's good weed.
Well, I have to agree with that. Okay. Gangsta-ish asks the question, why does weed stay in your system so long, and what natural ways can you get it out of your system faster?
Oh, a man after my own heart. It's unfortunate but true that THC is a fat-soluble drug, and that is why it stays in our system so long. It doesn't mean you're high for a month, but it does mean metabolites are in your fat cells for weeks and weeks at a time, which is a real drag come drug testing time. Unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do other than stay away from weed and drink water every waking moment of your life in order to get this to go. People, you know, talk about exercise and creatine and all these other things. We just don't have data on that, other than anything that would enhance your metabolism would enhance your metabolism. Of course, everybody should be exercising plenty anyway, and by all means, a 64-ounce bottle of water a day is not too much, although you're definitely going to be going to the bathroom a lot.
Cannabis Carrie up in the chat room says she's got the poor man's way to determine the THC content of marijuana. Send me some. I will tell you. I think that's a good follow-up, Carrie. Very good. Okay, let's. Speaking of the metabolites of cannabis, and this is a subject we talked about with Paul Armentano a few days ago as well, we talked about how the metabolite is inactive. The THC, carboxy-THC, is inactive. It's not impairing, and it represents THC itself being broken down. You know, the fact that it's not THC anymore, that it is a metabolite, kind of tells you it's non-impairing. But we got this question from Destruction, who wants to know, is there a drug test out there that can test for the active ingredients of THC?
Only in blood. And it seems just too invasive and unfair to even elaborate on. But in theory, if you took a blood sample pretty soon after smoking, you could detect just THC itself or a metabolite that is so close in the process that it's clearly intoxicating, like 11-hydroxy-THC or one of those.
That sucks, because Ganja John here, Dr. Mitch, I have a blood test right after the show today, so not going to be passing that.
Oh, no. Well, I think we'll find a way to we'll keep you out of jail.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. All right. Let's see. We got more questions here from the chat room. And again, we'll just take a couple more. And if you have any further questions that you weren't able to get in on the show, you can always email Dr. Mitch Earlywine at 420research@gmail.com. And, you know, there's been more than one time that your emails have led to some interesting studies and inquiries from Dr. Mitch and his staff out there. Let's go to this question from Ion Drive, who wants to know, have there been any studies on arthritis and cannabis use?
We've had clinical lore going back to at least 2700 BC that cannabis is good for arthritis. Nevertheless, the randomized clinical trial that would need to be done hasn't actually been done. We're seeing wonderful cases where folks can decrease their aspirin consumption and things like that with cannabis use. And it's, you know, it's hard to badmouth aspirin, but it does get toxic at high doses. A lot of the other pain meds used for arthritis, again, can really break down collagen or hurt other aspects of your body. And so it's good to know that it's definitely out there. The case studies and individual studies are compelling, but we haven't done the full-blown one group gets placebo, one group gets real weed study.
Okay. Well, someday we'll get those studies out for sure, and I just know that as we get more acceptance of medical use of marijuana and some of these states begin these actual, you know, the trials, we're going to find so much more that we've always suspected, but now we have the proof for. We find it every year. We get more and more of these studies. One last question here for Dr. Mitch, and again, he'll be back next Wednesday for more questions, but Rainbow Family has the question, how bad is powdery mildew if smoked, or if vaporized, or if converted to hash oil?
Very, very bad. That's the short answer. The bottom line is the mildews and fungi are just not for human consumption. We don't have systematic data on the ones that are only there for cannabis, but prevention is worth literally a pound of cure in this case. Make sure your cannabis is in airtight containers, preferably away from the light, and by all means, smoke it as soon as you can.
All right, that's good advice. I think we can end the segment on that. Smoke it as soon as you can. Thank you, Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. And before we let you go, it's tough talking to kids about marijuana.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. It comes in sometimes. I did want to just find out how your testing regimen was going.
Let's just say I am now the biggest lightweight on the normal advisory board.
That's a good thing to hear, Dr. Mitch.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, guys.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. 45 after the hour. And for today's Normal Newsmakers, we're going to go all the way to the top of Normal, and that is with our executive director, Alan St. Pierre. He appears on so many TV shows and radio appearances all around the country, local markets and national markets, as well as sitting for so many interviews for newspapers and magazines. I did want to get this video out, and we received this tip from Mr. Spoff and a few of the other folks out there on the stash, who caught this video of Alan St. Pierre in a debate on legalization of marijuana with a lobbyist from the Heritage Foundation, one of these groups that opposes legalization of marijuana. And what was really fascinating about this debate is that, you know, it's your typical TV news show with the anchor and the split screen with the two people's heads in the box. You know how it is. But in this case, it also has the added element of Twitter going along with it, so that people in real time watching the debate could add their questions or statements. And it's just so telling when you watch this how nearly every tweet that comes through is a tweet from our side of people saying it's, you know, safer than alcohol, it should be taxed and regulated, etc. I don't know if the resolution on the webcam will be good enough for you to be able to actually read the tweets, but if you get a chance to see this on abcnews.go.com. It's under their Nightline feature, and it's their Nightline Twitter cast on Legalize It. It's a four-parter. I'm going to play you the two parts today, and then tomorrow we'll play the other two parts. But this is Alan St. Pierre against the Heritage Foundation, and let's go ahead and roll it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Nightline Twittercast. I'm Vicki Mabry. Thank you for joining us. 14 years ago, California passed a bill allowing for the prescribed use of so-called medical marijuana. Since that time, 13 other states have passed similar laws. This fall, a California voter initiative that would legalize possession and sale of marijuana has qualified for the November ballot. Now, while passage of this bill is by no means certain, it would be a watershed moment in the history of marijuana law in this country. So today we ask you, should marijuana be legal? Now, as always, we welcome your thoughts via Twitter. You simply go to the abcnews.com, go to Nightline, and click on our Twitter page. And remember to include at Nightline in your tweets. We also welcome those of you watching us live on Ustream.com. You can join the conversation via Twitter on your screen as well. Now, no package today. We're going to get straight into our guests. Our first guest is Brian Darling. He's director of the United States Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation. Mr. Darling is against the legalization of marijuana, and he joins us live in the ABC News Washington Bureau. Welcome. Also with us today, Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of the National Organization Coalition for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, otherwise known as NORML. Mr. St. Pierre is for legalization of marijuana, and he also is in Washington. Thanks to both of you for being with us today. Brian Darling, why are you against the legalization of marijuana?
Well, America already has a drug problem. If you look at the news coming out of Hollywood and the issues of prescription painkiller abuse we have in Hollywood and all the problems that we're having, I come
Wait
to
a minute,
conclusion.
Why are you singling out Hollywood, first of all? We Rush Limbaugh, who had a drug problem already, so I don't think you can put that just on Hollywood.
Not just on Hollywood, but America as a whole has a drug problem. So why would we go down the road of legalizing a drug that is unhealthy for your average American? It's something that's going to lead to other disorders. And not only that, it's going to make
it
much...
What do you mean by disorders?
Well, even the Obama administration has come to the conclusion that it's bad for you. It's unhealthy. The science tells you that marijuana is not healthy for you. It may alleviate some pain if you have pain, but it's not something that's good for you that's going to make you healthier. And also for kids. I mean, if you have legalized marijuana in California, it's going to make it a lot easier for kids to get it. You can see the increased use in children. And this is at a time when we're seeing the use by children going down of marijuana. This is going to dramatically increase, and it already has under California's medical marijuana laws.
All right, I see Alan St. Pierre shaking his head already, so let me let you get in there right away.
I'm 44 years old. I occasionally smoke marijuana. The idea that the government would violently interact with me in the privacy of my home in a country where tobacco is legal and kills 400,000 people, a country where alcohol is legal, a country where hundreds of thousands of pharmaceutical drugs are available by a doctor's recommendation. How much possible sense does it make that in 2010, we're in our 73rd year of marijuana prohibition? Alcohol prohibition was an abject failure. Marijuana prohibition at the 73-year mark is an outrage.
Okay, but let me ask you, Alan, is pot, let's call it by its common street name, is pot more dangerous than alcohol?
No, I could smoke.
I mean, do you think that it's pretty much equal and that's the way people would use it?
People perceive marijuana now in the last 5 years as being not as harmful as alcohol. But specific to your question, not to be flip here, I could smoke every nanogram of marijuana in the District of Columbia, and I would just simply have very dry mouth and have to want to get something to eat immediately afterwards. If I drank 10 or 20 fluid ounces of anything over 100 proof, I'm dead.
So you're saying that marijuana does not kill?
Marijuana cannot kill. It has an LD rating of 50, meaning science has never measured the lethal dose.
Okay, but Brian, it's not whether it's going to kill you or not. You're saying that there's a lot more wrong with it in between being good for you and killing you.
Well, let's take a step back, too. I mean, you talk about the fact that marijuana is not legal. You know what else isn't legal? Heroin, crystal meth, cocaine, and a lot of other drugs.
But would you make alcohol non-legal as well?
No. I think, as a society, I actually drink alcohol every once in a while. I'm a tobacco user. I love my dip.
Brian, in my world, we call you a hypocrite. Why is it that you can smoke tobacco and pay taxes to the state? You can go to happy hour tonight, but the government would put me in jail. How could you rationalize your hypocrisy?
Let me ask you this. Do you think that heroin should be legal?
No, and let me tell you why heroin's not going to be legal in your life.
Then you're a hypocrite.
No, excuse me. I'm speaking about pharmacology here. You know, there's a reason why there's not a Heroin Times magazine, Brian. There's a reason why Showtimes doesn't have a series about selling heroin. We have marijuana as a well-accepted drug despite its 73 years of prohibition.
It's not that well accepted. It's illegal. Society has determined that it shouldn't be legal.
Brian, let's put some metrics on this. 75% of the public supports medical access to marijuana. 73% support this soft reform of decriminalization. 44% support legalization in California, where it started our conversation here today. 56% of Californians want marijuana legal. So you folks at the Heritage Institute who smoke tobacco
Foundation
who smoke tobacco and use alcohol, you might want to be hypocrites, but the rest of the country, we don't want to be.
ABC News Now. Good to know.
do is look at the stats to know alcohol wrecks millions of lives daily. Science versus politics and morality. Another
That's
one
exactly
says,
right.
Less isn't a bit moot with existing data clearly showing overall. This one doesn't make any sense. But anyway, go ahead, Brian. What were you saying about that first one?
That's exactly right.
Marijuana is much safer than alcohol.
We as a society have had a battle over the legalization of alcohol, and it's something that our constitution has dealt with.
And it's now
something that's allowed. People are allowed to use it, and I drink a beer every
right.
once in a while. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But
right.
as a society,
and there's nothing wrong with smoking a joint.
Yes,
nothing
there
wrong
is.
With smoking. Brian,
because
it causes
so many problems for our society.
You mean like alcohol?
Look, you have to
and
have
tobacco?
Reasonable lines, reasonableness,
right.
and reasonable lines.
I've
drawn my line. I think society's drawn the line at marijuana, and you have drawn it in a different place.
But wait a minute, what about all those statistics that Alan just cited? And in fact, there is the most recent survey says that 56% of Californians favor legalizing pot for recreational use. So a lot of people are moving that line the same way they did with prohibition.
Well, the bottom line is the people in California will make that decision on Election Day. So I don't.
Yes.
We'll see if these poll numbers pan out and what happens.
Hey, Brian,
but if you take
Brian,
a step back to medical marijuana,
right.
I think your average American really does believe if you have AIDS, if you have a
right.
cancer, and if you want
right.
to reduce the pain that you have, I think Marinol or some form of marijuana may be something that people think is reasonable for an individual to be allowed to get. The problem is we have rampant abuse. You have people who say they have pain out in California. You've got a proliferation of these marijuana
Brian,
stores where
Brian,
they're selling marijuana.
Brian, those are all effects of prohibition. Everything you're pointing out are the effects of the prohibition. If people are abusing this in California, they're doing it because they're getting around the prohibition of marijuana. Let's just get some more statistics here. While we're sitting here yammering, every 37 seconds, another American is arrested on marijuana charges, 90% of them for possession only. We've arrested 20 million people since 1965, Brian. I don't know how you can possibly support a system where the government violently intervenes in the lives of otherwise productive tax-paying citizens like
me. The government intervenes in the heroin trafficking.
Right.
They shut down crystal meth labs.
Right. But you,
they're
you,
against the distribution of
yeah,
cocaine.
But,
so
right.
there is a role for the government to stop
right.
drugs
but
that are illegal
the problem
that are harmful
is,
to
Brian,
your average
the
American.
The problem is, but following your line of thought, since tobacco kills 400,000 people, chumps like you that smoke tobacco, why would you not be a criminal? Why isn't your act of smoking tobacco an act of moral turpitude? Why do you pretend that it's not an act of moral turpitude? Why
first
do you fault. Pretend that people who use marijuana...
I'm not going to accept a lot of your premises. First of all, marijuana
I'm not
is
surprised
not
you
good
wouldn't.
For you. It's
right.
not
just
good
like
for
alcohol
you.
And tobacco
Brian,
are not good for you, Brian.
I know
smoking
they're bad
is
not
for
good
you.
For you.
So why don't we make that
Brian,
illegal, too?
Brian,
do you think we should?
Brian, ice cream is not good for you. Would you make ice cream illegal? That's
no,
pure
No, I love
fat.
Ice cream.
Okay.
I love it. It's
so,
great.
So, Brian, the problem is...
Okay, but ice cream doesn't make you high, Alan. It doesn't impair you.
So what we're talking about here, to use my favorite 25-cent word here, which I hope Brian will appreciate, we're really talking about psychopharmacological McCarthyism. How you like that one?
Whoa.
Right.
That's
explain
more than
that one.
How could we have a society today where alcohol kills 100,000 people a year? All around America today, people will get pulled over for drinking and driving. 400,000 people will die annually just for using tobacco. So
that's right.
So how could we justify arresting and incarcerating somebody who's using a substance that doesn't kill, doesn't addict, and doesn't cause the same problems of the drugs you consume?
It does addict. It is addictive. Marijuana
it's not addictive.
Is an addictive drug.
It
and
doesn't
it's a gateway
cause...
drug to other drugs.
Brian, is alcohol a gateway to other things? I mean,
like marijuana? I mean,
no.
honestly,
yeah,
take
alcohol
a step back.
Might lead you to marijuana, might lead you to who knows what else.
Listen,
okay. why doesn't it work that way?
The gateway effect is absolutely not true. For every 102 people in the United States, according to the government data that measures people who use drugs, for every 102 people who use marijuana, one goes on to use heroin or cocaine. So blessedly, oh, thankfully, we do not have a gateway effect. Otherwise, we'd have tens of millions of heroin and cocaine addicts. So thankfully, what we actually see from the data, the first drugs that people use in this society are caffeine, tobacco, alcohol, then marijuana, and then they might go on and try a hard drug. So marijuana is not a gateway drug. It is simply maybe best describe a drug of terminus. Most Americans will stop using drugs after they try marijuana. Thankfully, so few people will ever go on and experiment with heroin or cocaine.
Let me cite an authority.
Oh, we got to run it out there, but you can check that out on ABC News video. We'll play parts 3 and 4 tomorrow on the show. For everyone here at Normal.org, I'm Radical Russ. For Ganja John, for Cannabis Carrie, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you